Amen. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Have a seat. Thank you. All right. I'll tell you what. Let's have my wife stand up. Laurie, would you stand up? Now, you can do better than that for her, okay? Give her a hand, because she's the one who really deserves it. All right? Amen. A prudent wife is from the Lord. An imprudent wife is from the devil. Amen? All right. Take your... Oh, Aaron. It won't do any good. It won't do any good. Aaron's very independent, so praise the Lord. All right, open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 23. I'm going to have to talk fast. We'll get there. I'd like to say thank you, first of all. Thank you to Pastor Wilkerson. Thank you to the staff and the faculty. And thank you to Howes Anderson College and First Baptist Church. I appreciate this opportunity. And we have sent many students here. One of our students, Keith Hamilton, he and his wife, Kelly, I've served the Lord faithfully in Ireland for a long time now, and we're privileged to know them well. Trent is here. Trent is getting married. Trent, usually we lose a girl, and then they go somewhere, but Trent is getting married to Elena, and then Luke, Aaron, and we have James and Sarah Barnes serve with us in New Hampshire, graduates here. All right, I have one favor to ask you. You found 2 Samuel chapter 23, right? Just one favor. Look, I came 1,000 miles just to be here today. And Brother Young asked me a long time ago, it's the longest sermon schedule I ever had for anything. So I want you to take your phone, and I want you to set it aside and put it away. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for some of you, okay? We're going to have counseling after chapel. We'll be available. Some of you might have to go to therapy, okay? But you just take that phone and set it aside. I came here to be heard, not for you to be distracted by your phone, checking your Instagram, and getting extra jewels on your games, all right? 2 Samuel chapter 23, and let's read verses 8 through 10. Let's stand, please, for the reading of Scripture, and I'll just read these if you follow along, please. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle. But the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Lord, we ask that you would take your word today and make it practical. Lord, I thank you for this place. I thank you for each person who's here. Lord, a lot of memories come into my mind and my heart as I think about what I learned here, the privileges that I was given, the opportunities, responsibility. Lord, I pray that each young man and each young lady will take these truths from the Word of God and incorporate it into their lives. We'll give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Here's a scriptural account of a mighty man. The Bible calls him a mighty man. His name is Eleazar. He's one of David's most trusted warriors, a member of his elite army called the Mighty Men, a unit made up of 37 of the best soldiers. Today, we would liken them to the Army Rangers, the Navy SEALs, the Special Forces, and others. Men who were skillful, men of unquestionable character, men of discipline, men who were faithful. Men who were loyal. You read in verse number 16, you read that they risked their lives to get a drink of water. David said, oh, if I just had a drink of water from the well in Bethlehem where I grew up. And they said, they probably got together and said, hey, you know, it'd be a nice thing to do. Let's go get some of that water from the well. So they risked their lives. They got him the water. And of course, he couldn't drink it. He realized the price that was paid to get that water. They could have died. And he poured it out, an offering unto the Lord. That's what these men did. Eleazar was called one of the first three. He was called one of the mighties. Verse number 8, we read about Adino. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. His name was Adino the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. Boy, I hope they have instant replay in heaven, don't you? I mean, we can see these battles, and I don't know what's going to happen. But verse number 11, we find that Shammah defended a piece of ground. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. Look at the next three words. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. You know, when you stand, the Lord will win a great victory. But when you run away, he can't because nobody's there. I like Eleazar. The Bible says that Eleazar was in a battle with the Philistines. They were gathered together to battle against the Philistines. That one little phrase in verse number 9, as I was reading my Bible, it just jumped off the page. And the men of Israel were gone away. There's nobody there to help him. He's all by himself. He rose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. I like Eleazar. He was a manly man. Eleazar defied the Philistines. Kind of like David with Goliath. You know, I like that story where I'm named after him. And David ran to meet Goliath. He said, you know, if the Lord's with me, I'm going to run and meet him. He took it to them. Verse number 10. He was weary, but he kept on going. You know, what you do when you're weary is important. You get weary. I know I had a bus route when I was here. I was busy when I was here. I got weary. And what you do when you're weary is important. The ministry is not any different. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, what? If we faint not. Now that I'm looking at your faces, maybe you should look at your phone. No, just kidding. Just keep looking up here. If we faint not. Gideon and 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. Judges chapter 8 and verse number 7. The Bible says that Eleazar's hand clave unto the sword. It became part of him. Can you imagine him going home that night? I don't know how long his hand clave to that sword, but can you imagine him walking in the house and he goes to greet the dog, off with his head, right? Hopefully he still had it when he got to the cat, right? Nine times, right? And he walks in there and maybe he's at the dinner table and puts it down and maybe, I don't know, punches a hole in the table. And you can imagine he gets into bed that night. His wife says, you got to leave that thing over there. That's not getting in bed, all right? But his hand clave to the sword. It became part of him, became an extension of him. I was reading verse number 9, and the men of Israel went away. They were gone away. And I thought, where did the men go? Where did the men go? Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 11. I have reading glasses, but I refuse to wear them. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse number 12. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, who was one of the three mighties. He was with David at Pasdamim, and there the Philistines were gathered together to battle, where was a parcel of ground full of barley, and the people fled from before the Philistines. They set themselves in the midst of that parcel and delivered it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. I found out why they went away. They went away because there was an enemy. You know, you're going to face an enemy. You face an enemy every day. Will you stand? They went away because there was a battle. They went away because they were afraid. They went away because their lives were more important to them than standing their ground. It didn't look like they were going to have a victory. They were outnumbered. And so they said, you know, instead of losing my life right here in this field, I'm going to leave. They went away. But thank God Eleazar didn't go away. God give us men like Eleazar today. Men who will plant their feet on what's right instead of run. How'd you stay at the same church for 31 years? Nobody else wanted me. How'd you stay at the same church for 31 years? You just keep waking up the next day. You know, I won't tell that story. I'll tell it later in church, Ed, maybe. God give us men like Eleazar. Men who will defend what belongs to God. Men who will cleave to the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Eleazar won a great victory because he didn't go away. Eleazar stood. He defied the enemies of God. He arose and went forward. He kept his hand cleaving to the sword. I want us to look at three areas today. When you stand for God like Eleazar, you will look around and you will ask, where did the men go? Look at Ephesians chapter number 6. Where did the men go? Today you and I must stand. It is important that you stand. It is vital that you stand. Ephesians chapter 6, four times in that chapter, talking about the armor of God, the word stand is used. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. We must stand. Turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. We have the scriptural account of the crucifixion of our Savior. John chapter 19 and verse number 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. That the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. May I encourage you, first of all, today, don't go away from Jesus Christ. Don't go away from Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter number 1, chapter number 3, verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. For Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Look at the next phrase. When Christ, who is our what? Life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Is Christ your life today? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 32 and 33, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. If you'll deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. We are so concerned today about our image before others. We need to be concerned about our image before God. We're so concerned about who likes us. Who cares who likes you? As long as God likes you, that's all you have to worry about. If you get all caught up in who likes me, you won't do anything for God. Who likes me? How many followers do I have? How we appear concerns us. Oh, we ought to appear appropriately. But we worry about our clothes. We worry about our status. We worry about how we project ourselves. What we really need to be concerned about is our standing before God and our closeness to Jesus Christ. Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Think of all the people that Jesus touched in his earthly ministry. He poured his life into 12 chosen men. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot. For all those years, they witnessed miracles. The blind were made to see again. The deaf heard. The lame were made whole. The halt were healed. The lepers were cleansed. And the dead were raised to life. They preached the gospel. They were trained by the Son of God himself. He told them over and over again who he was. He told them over and over again why he came. He told them over and over again what was going to happen. I will die. I came to lay down my life, and I will take my life again. I will rise again. It came time for our Savior to die, to bear our sins in his own body on the tree, to make his soul an offering for sin, my sin, your sin, their sins, the sins of the whole world. Here it is, the darkest hour. Matthew 26, verse 56 says this: Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Here's Jesus in his greatest need, despised, rejected of men. Here's Jesus in his greatest need. Can you imagine his pain that he's gone through, being scourged and being crucified, hanging on the cross for our sins, in thirst, crying out, I thirst, forsaken by God, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Darkness. Can you visualize the crowd? A hostile mob. Even the two thieves reviled him. Here's Mary and a few ladies and one man. Can you hear John as he looks around and he must wonder, where did all the men go? I'm standing here by the cross. Where's Peter? Where did all the men go? Where are all the disciples? Peter, he said, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. I will not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. Matthew 26, verse 35. Where is Peter? He denied Jesus three times. Where is Peter? He went away. Thank God he came back, but he went away. Don't leave Jesus Christ. Don't leave being faithful to Jesus Christ, because some of us are going to look around and say, where did everybody else go? Where did the men go? Where is Nicodemus? That great John chapter 3, you must be born again, was given to that man. Where is he? Jesus needed him there at the cross. Where's Bartimaeus, the former blind man? Where's Lazarus? He's probably mad about having to come back and live with his sisters. Where are the other disciples? They went away. Today we need men and women to stand by the cross. Today we need men and women to stand by the Savior when those around us run. Stand when others attack the Savior. Stand when the world moves away. Stand while churches move away. Stand while preachers move away. Stand while worldliness and compromise are all around us. I've had it up to here with men who used to stand and preachers who used to stand, and they've gone away. They've thrown away Bible standards. They've lost their separation from sin. They no longer stand and earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. They've gone away from the King James Bible. They have embraced contemporary methods and contemporary music and pragmatism. Listen, if you get caught up in what will build the church, you'll build the wrong kind of church. This builds a church. Jesus builds the church upon this rock. I will build my church, he said. You get caught up in trying to make everybody happy, you're going to make Jesus mad. They have ran greedily after the error of Calvinism. I had a Calvinist in my parking lot last week. I didn't know he was a Calvinist. So a guy that was there that I know, I was helping him out. And I was just asking him, hey, are there any churches in this area, and where that guy lived? I said, you know, I'm a little frustrated because I went to this certain place. I'll mention it in Church Ed, right? And I said, the only church I could find, the guy's a Calvinist. And so this guy, my friend, he goes, what's a Calvinist? So I just told him, I just unloaded the truck. I said, you know, they believe that's a kickball. One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. All the ones, you're going to heaven. All the twos, sorry, buddy, you're going to hell. Nothing you can do about it. And I said, you know, I've never met a Calvinist that's elected to hell. And the guy looks at me and he goes, well, actually, I'm a Calvinist. So I just doubled down a little deeper. And I said, you know what the Bible says? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He said, well, we could have a nice discussion. I said, well, you're going to keep dragging me back to John Calvin, and I'm going to keep dragging you back to the Bible. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, I've watched preachers who used to stand. They got lazy because they didn't want to win souls. I led somebody to Christ on Tuesday. You got to keep doing it. First person you see, jump out of the car. Hey, there's one. Track them down. She got saved. Amen. What choice did she have? No, she didn't. Will you make up your mind? I will stand by the Savior. I will stand by his cross. I will stand by the scriptures. If Jesus is popular, stand. If Jesus is unpopular, stand. Hey, can I tell you this? John got some special privileges because he stood by the Savior. He got some special conversations. Hey, fellas, I wish you could have been there at the cross and heard those seven things that Jesus said, but you weren't there. You went away. But I wrote them down. He had some special responsibility. Mary, woman, behold thy son. Looked at John, behold thy mother. What a great responsibility. The others didn't get that. He had a special revelation. God gave him four books. The book of Revelation, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, in addition to John. Don't go away from Jesus Christ. Let me give you a second thought. John chapter 6, quickly. John chapter 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Don't go away from discipleship. We ought to always be growing and learning our Bible. Spiritually, we need to grow like physically. We need to grow in obedience and surrender to the Lord. Can you picture Peter as he looks around? People left. And he asked the question, where did all the men go? Where did all the disciples go? Look at verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an what? Hard saying. Who can hear it? Why did they leave? Hard saying. When you read your Bible and you disagree with God, it's going to be easy for you to go away from your Bible. When you come to church and your pastor, who's supposed to love you, he does love you. He's supposed to love you. He rebukes you and he offends you by something that he's preaching from the Bible. If you are not walking in the Spirit, you will go away. Church is spiritual boot camp, not therapy. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse number 9. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered. They were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave to the sword, and the Lord wrought great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Don't go away, number three, when the Christian life becomes a battle. Don't go away from Jesus Christ. Don't go away from discipleship. And don't go away when the Christian life becomes a battle. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. Let me give you some benefits of standing versus going away. Number one, can you name anyone who went away? We can't name the people who went away because we don't know who they were because they never did anything. Number two, we remember those who stand. We remember those who stay. Number two, In verse number 10, the Bible says, and the Lord wrought a great victory. When you stand and when you stay, God wins. Number 3, the third benefit of standing and staying is verse number 10. The enemy is defeated. The devil gets a black eye when you stand and you stay. The enemy is defeated. Hey, can I give you this last one? Verse number 10. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. Look at the last phrase. And the people returned after him only to spoil. When you stand and you stay, we remember those who stand and stay. The Lord wins. The enemy is defeated. And those who left are encouraged to come back. They have to have something to come back to. You might as well just stand. You might as well just stay. Make up your mind. I am not going away. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for this place. We thank you for each person who's here. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to resolve. When things happen, things are tough, and things are terrible, we will stand. Father, bless you.